to the GM live from Bridgestone Arena, where the Preds take on San Jose tonight at 7 o'clock. Pecorine looking for win number 300. And Floyd Reese, I'm a little worried.
About?
Tonight's game.
Ah.
It's got trap game written all over it. I'm highlighting it in trap game. Now, let me say, remember when I came on last week and I guaranteed a victory and then they went out and lost?
Yes, I do.
I'm not going to guarantee a loss tonight because I think if the Preds focus, they can win. But San Jose is a pretty good team coming in here tonight. And I'm just a little worried that this is a trap game because they've come off of two wins in which they played pretty decent hockey, but they knew they needed to win Ottawa and Detroit. After they lost to Calgary and Detroit, they were like, guys, that's not good enough. We got to play better. So they went out there and they played well against Ottawa and they played well against Detroit. Now, they know they have big games coming up next week. St. Louis at Winnipeg. Because right now, who are the two teams that are behind you in the division closest to you?
Yeah.
Winnipeg and St. Louis. So again, you've got a huge game on Sunday, 11 o'clock on NBC. They know that's a nationally televised game against a division rival who's not happy because they were up 3-0 and lost last time they were here. That is a big game. Don't need to pump them up for that. Winnipeg, big game because they're the team closest to you in the standings at Winnipeg on Tuesday night. Don't need to pump them up for that. But tonight, and it is still February, and Peter LaViolette was on the morning show today, and he brought up that the month of February is kind of where he worries a little bit.
You start to get into that beginning of March and certainly mid-March. That's when I think reality of the playoffs really come to light. For me, February is always the toughest month of the season. It's lost, you know, the All-Star game and the breaks are gone, and certainly the beginning of the season is gone and all the newness of the team when you're first starting out back in October, that's long, long gone. And February is really just a grinding month. There's not really that light at the end of the tunnel yet for the playoffs, and you got to just keep working and keep your nose down and do the best you can inside of this month, because when March comes, then it really starts to turn quick.
So March, you can feel good about it, but February, you got to worry. I don't worry about St. Louis. I don't worry about Winnipeg next week because they know how big those are. Those are division games. But tonight against San Jose, a good team with good players, I'm worried. Trap game.
I don't. Peter didn't make February sound too appealing, did he?
I mean, it kind of sounds like a Green Day song.
I was thinking about, what, you know, why this is February. Let's just get through February. Let's just get to March. I think he said middle of March. Let's get there. And then we can start talking about the playoffs and stuff. That's where it starts getting exciting.
Now, you've been on teams, like you've been on teams that are good teams that – you know, maybe it's a game right before a bye. You're 5-1, and you're on the road at a mediocre Baltimore team, and the bye week is the next week, and you just go out there and throw out a clunker. You know that feeling. I know that feeling. I feel like today is that feeling. Do you get that feeling when you add it up with the two wins that they had this week and knowing the two games at the beginning of next week, St. Louis and Winnipeg, do you look at tonight and say, trap game?
I mean, I don't, but it's not because of any reason. I mean, I think it's just another game. I think Peter hit it right on the head. You know, you just got to put your head down and you got to go to work and you got to play to it. We say this all the time, play to a certain level. This is your level. And this time of year, when you listen to everybody in hockey talk about it, I mean, it's kind of you know, you
get bored.
This is when we're in the NFL and you get into it, we don't have games like this necessarily, but you do have quarters or periods or drives or something where it's just, well, that's when you rely on your discipline. You know, that's when you rely on everybody being in the right place, everybody doing the right thing. Now, are they going a million miles an hour? Maybe not. But if everybody's there doing what they're supposed to, as Bill would say, do your job, then you're still going to be okay. It's not going to be the best possible results, but they'll be good enough. And I think that's where you are in a game like this, is you've got to go out and it's a do your job kind of a game. And if you do that, then you're going to win.
Well, I think everybody has this in all things in life, right? Like, I think we have this in the month of July, like on the radio, where you look at a lot of radio hosts will say things like, man, in July, there's just not a lot to talk about. And I always look at it and I say, okay, this is where we can get more creative. This is where we can take certain things from here, take certain things from there. Or we can do different things, because I get excited because I just want to entertain for 4 hours. But I think there's a lot of radio hosts that get in there and are like, oh, July, there's nothing going on and it's tough and it's this and it's that. And again, like you said, you just stick to your discipline. Like, we just kind of stick to doing what we do. And I think that the Preds tonight, I mean, I'm not saying that they're not going to try, because that's not the right word. I'm just saying there's so much going on. They're in the middle of a playoff race. They're beat up after playing those back-to-backs that they won. I just look at tonight, and I think San Jose needs this game more than you need this game. And I don't think it's not the end of the world if you lose tonight. And it's really not the end of the world if you lose to St. Louis or Winnipeg next week. But when you just add it all up and it's so close to the end of February, it just – I'm not saying they're going to lose. I'm just saying it has all the ingredients in the pie for a loss.
Yeah, I mean, I
– I'll say that. I'll be pleasantly surprised with a win tonight.
Well, let's hope for that. I mean, I don't – you know, you just – it's hard – you know, for me, it's hard for me to talk about these games really don't matter. These two or three games, we just blow these off, keep on trucking.
I don't think that's what they're thinking. I just think it's just natural to come on out tonight and just, you know, there's certain days when you go to work and you're jazzed up about work and then there's other days where you're punching a clock. And tonight's game, based upon the fact that they won the first two this week and they have huge games coming up next week, tonight is kind of like a punch-in-the-clock game. Don't you feel that way?
I hope not.
Like, when you were a general manager in the NFL, did you ever have days where
– No, we didn't have punch-in-the-clock games.
No, I'm not saying games. I'm saying, did you ever have days, like a day where you weren't fired up about, oh, God, I got to go fly to this pro day, and then I got to do this, and I got to do that. And so you just don't have the oomph behind you that maybe you do on the first day of the NFL draft.
Right. But, I mean, you still went and did it.
I know. And but you kind of, even though you're not trying to go through the motions or you're trying to give it a good effort, you don't give it a great effort.
Well, I don't know, maybe. I mean, I don't know. You don't have a choice in the NFL. If you're going to a pro day, the example of a pro day, there are 75 guys there. And everybody's in a buzz. Let's say the pro day's at Oklahoma. I mean, there's a buzz. Why? Well, there's Baker Mayfield. Let's see how he's going to do. Well, there's this offensive tackle. Let's see how Brown's going to do. Let's see how – and so there's always kind of a roar going, you know. And so you got to jump in and get in the middle of that, or else you're not going to get what you need, you know, for your franchise. Mm-hmm. Now, if you just go into the office – and sitting down in the office and watching tape of a seventh-round draft choice from UTEP, you know, you may not be paying attention to that as closely as you should be. You may overlook some things and mess that one up, but you can't do it too often.
And you can't do it too often in hockey either, but it happens throughout the course of the season. I mean, even last Thursday night's game should not have been a trap game, but they played like it was a trap game, and that's why they lost to Calgary. I'm just looking at it. I'm just saying how it is. After their two wins, this feels this week like a trap game before St. Louis and before Winnipeg. Jonathan on Twitter says, at Jared Stillman, tonight's game is so much bigger than Detroit and Ottawa. Conference points at this time of the year against a potential playoff conference final matchup for home ice advantage is monumental. Come on. Look, home ice for the conference final is not going to be decided about whether or not you beat San Jose tonight. Now, the acclimation of points can decide something like that, But if we're going to talk about playoff matchups and thinking about the playoffs, the points for the St. Louis and Winnipeg games are way more important than the points tonight against San Jose. Just calling it how it is. Now, his point that the points tonight in a conference game are more important than the Detroit and Ottawa points are true. Except, in my opinion, I think that the Detroit and Ottawa points were such a big deal because they had lost the Calgary and Detroit points the two games before Ottawa and Detroit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, hey, got to get off the mat tonight. You got to do this. You got to do – and we told them. I mean, we said it. We were like, if they lose, we'll have 3 hours of phone calls about people complaining that they lost twice to Detroit in a week. If they win, good game, guys. Move on to the next. And that's what it was. And tonight, if they lose tonight, you're not going to hear me throw a fit or complain unless something just ridiculously stupid happens. And I think that that's fair. I mean, you have to account that it's a long season. And I'm not saying they're going to lose. I'm not calling for them to lose. I'm just saying I see the writing on the wall. Like, I anticipate that it's kind of going to be a trap game. You hate talking about trap games.
Oh, yeah.
They happen in the NFL, though, too, and in college.
Sure. I mean, I'm sure it happens everywhere.
Like, I use the example. Remember 2 years ago when Tennessee played at Alabama with Butch Jones as coach, and I think Jalen Hurd scored a touchdown with, like, 5 minutes left to give Tennessee a lead, and Tennessee had the lead at Alabama. And everyone was like, wow, what a great game for the Vols. And I was like, here's the thing, though. Alabama had played 8 straight weeks with no bye. They had a bye week upcoming after the Tennessee game, and then they had a undefeated matchup with LSU the next week. So they're already thinking bye week and LSU. And Alabama didn't play great. Tennessee takes the lead with 5 minutes to go. Alabama looks at themselves and says, whoa, what are we doing? Turn around, they hand the ball off to Derrick Henry. He takes 8 guys into the end zone for a touchdown. Next play, I think it was A'shaun Robinson just pushed over the guy, got Josh Dobbs to fumble, and Alabama wins. But Alabama, even that great team that always plays to standard, Alabama, 8 weeks, no bye, got a bye the next weeks, got LSU the week after that. Alabama, it's a trap game. Tonight, got a little feel of a trap game. We'll take your calls at 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Your tweets at Jared Stillman. We will get to those. And coming up next, boy, the fans are fired up for something at this trade deadline. Should they be? We'll get to that next. It's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 1025 The Game, live from Bridgestone Arena.
You know, maybe this is our team because we've been playing consistently all year. Same team. With a couple of changes, maybe even if you're optimistic, even better than we were last year. And you've got the good chemistry and culture in the room. And, you know, the worst thing that I could possibly do is to make a trade where somebody didn't fit in. I mean, that's you disrupt or change lines or defense pairs, or you bring a bad apple in or something like that. And, you know, that would be very regrettable if we did that. Again, that's not to say I'm going to sit on my hands and not do anything, but if you're getting my gist here, I think we're closer to doing nothing than to do, you know, something.
That was David Poile, Predators general manager. So the thought around town is either, oh, Jared, the Preds got to make a trade, or instead of making a trade, they're going to add Mike Fisher to the roster, which we know they're going to do, and they're going to add Ellie Tolvanen. And now, no offense, and I think the Preds have made it pretty clear they're going to add Tolvanen. I'm kind of against it. Like, maybe I shouldn't be. But I just feel like, you know, I feel like your team's good enough without Tolvanen to go win the cup. So why not, instead of throwing an 18-year-old who's never played in the NHL into the middle of the playoffs, why would you not wait a little bit and bring him in next year as opposed to taking somebody down? But that's a whole different topic we'll get into. But Joe Rexroad wrote this in the Tennessean because Joe is at the Olympics. So really the only column that we can use on this show that came from Joe while he's at the Olympics was about Tolvanen. And Joe Rexroad writes in the Tennessean, I realize an 18-year-old who is lighting up the KHL and an Olympics with no current NHL players is no sure thing. I realize the 5'11", 185-pound Tolvanen would have to be responsible defensively and fit quickly into the Nashville locker room. I realize his KHL team, Jokerit, in the Finnish capital of Helsinki, would play into mid-April if it made the finals, meaning he couldn't sign with the Preds and start helping them until after the NHL playoffs are underway. Joe continues to write, quote, I don't care. He's special. He's worth the wait. He'd help this team. And so Joe Rexroad saying, play him. Play him. Play him. Play him. Play him. Play him. And I don't know. I'm not saying that I wouldn't. I mean, I don't know. You know, I mean, I think it's, you know, Rexroad goes on to compare him in this column to Vladimir Tarasenko, which was the comp when he came out, and they drafted him. But are we really convinced that plugging Elli Tolvanen into the roster immediately, even if he comes after the playoffs start, is going to have an infinitely more positive effect than maybe a negative effect on both him and maybe the team or your cup chances? Like, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Like, I get it, but I also don't get it.
Well, I don't know how. I mean, if you – and I'm just going back to the Preds. You know, how much time they spend with guys working together and guys understanding each other and feeling each other and knowing where the all of those intangibles and, you know, rotate guys around so they get to know everybody. And, I mean, you know, they use every method – I think along with that, and to just think that a guy can come out of nowhere and get thrown in there and survive, to me, is astounding.
And to think that he's going to survive against Sidney Crosby, you know, that's the other thing here. If Jokerit, his team in the KHL, if they go to their, at least into their playoffs, maybe not to the finals, and he joins the team at the beginning or the middle of the playoffs, like, congratulations, Elli Tolvanen, and now you're out there against Winnipeg. There's Dustin Byfuglien and Patrick Laine. Knock yourself out. Like, he's never played against those kind of players before. And I mean, again, I'm not exactly sure how this contract thing would work. My guess is you knock a year off his entry-level deal. So if you wait until next year to sign him, then you've got him for 3 years before you have to sign him as a restricted free agent. Whereas if you take him for this cup run, now you get him for 2 years before you have to sign him. Is that your best use of a resource?
Like, he's 18, right?
Yes.
How old was that guy that went to Harvard or wherever he was?
Jimmy Vesey?
Yeah.
Like 22, 21-ish. And that team was, like, supposedly desperate to get him. This team I don't think is desperate to add Tolvanen into the mix.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how we think a guy that's 3 or 4 years younger, less experienced, is going to be able to –
Well, I think that's the talent level that they're excited about.
Well, which I'm sure that's great.
Like Connor McDavid last year was 19, and he lit the playoffs up because he's Connor freaking McDavid.
Right, and was the number one draft choice, right?
Right, which Tolvanen was your number one draft choice this year.
Right, but number one draft choice.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, you know, Connor McDavid.
the one. I mean, I don't think every team in the NHL would have taken McDavid, right?
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, and the guy that went to Jack Eichel, everybody would have taken Jack Eichel number one if Connor McDavid wasn't sitting there,
right?
You know, in this draft. I don't know, man. I mean, maybe, look, and if we were in the month of November, I'd say, okay, you know, you get done with your season in a couple of weeks, you sign him over from the KHL, now he's here for 3 months and he's on the team and you go into the playoffs. But to just drop an 18-year-old into the playoffs when you don't even know if you necessarily are going to need him, that's the kind of rub for me. Like, I hear people talking about the idea that you're going to take Scott Hartnell out of the lineup and you're going to put Elli Tolvanen in. So you're going to take out a veteran player who physically is as mature as it gets, has played in the Stanley Cup Final before, and has been a big contributor onto this team, and you're going to put in an 18-year-old rookie who's never played a game in the United States.
When is he going to get here?
It depends on when his team loses in the KHL playoffs, and then they have to sign him after that, and then that would be when he gets here.
What would be the earliest he would get here?
I don't know.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Jonathan on Twitter puts in an interesting point and says the biggest issue with Tolvanen is an exposure to the potential Seattle franchise expansion draft. If he starts this season or the playoffs, he will have to be protected for the expansion draft. if that's part of the deal there. So apparently here's the deal with Tolvanen with his contract. If he comes here and he plays in 10-plus games, it counts as a season on his entry-level deal. If he plays 9 or fewer, he still has 3 years left, which is akin to what Sam Girard was going through at the beginning of this season before the Predators traded him.
Right.
Remember when they would pick which games he would play and they would – I mean, I'm not taking Scott Hartnell out of my lineup if I get into the playoffs. I'm not taking him out. I'm not taking Austin Watson out of the lineup. And you guys can tell me, well, Tolvanen's slap shot or his shot is incredible, and it's and you might be right. I'm not taking Scott Hartnell, who's been on my team the whole year and has been to a Stanley Cup final before. I'm not taking him out of the lineup to put the kid in there, the unproven kid. So I'm not as high on bringing him along for the ride as much as I think everybody else is, especially if the Seattle expansion draft thing comes into play too, and I don't know how you plan for that since we don't know if they're going to have a team.
That's, yeah, I mean, they don't even have a franchise yet, right?
Well, they just put the money down, the first payment, and I think the NHL is about to green light them to start taking season ticket deposits. I mean, they're on the path.
But they don't have one yet.
No, but you have to worry about it.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if they don't have one yet, then they don't have the rules yet for any kind of expansion draft. I mean, they'll have to wait for that team to get solidified and get put together before they can have an expansion draft, and what goes into that expansion draft, I don't know.
Yeah, but maybe would you exactly use the same Vegas?
Maybe exactly template? The same as Vegas, yeah. Maybe it's not.
I'm happy with what they got right now. Like, I'm happy with this group and Mike Fisher. I'm happy with that group. I don't think you need to trade. I think you got good enough players on your team, and I really don't think you need to rush Tolvanen in there when you – I mean – does everybody remember when Fiala played in that playoff game at Chicago? Ian, I know you remember that. And I'm not knocking Fiala because we know, hey, Jared's kids, and I love Fiala, and he's going to be a really good player. But Fiala was not ready in that playoff game. So why would you rush Tolvanen when your team's good enough, especially from a score where you can take Craig Smith out of the lineup? No. You can take Fiala out of the lineup? No. So I get it, I understand, but I think the addition of Mike Fisher is enough. I think this team is so deep. The addition of Mike Fisher is good enough for this team to win the Cup. Because you got a guy like Åberg on the bench. Åberg was a key contributor last year in your Cup run, had big goals in the Anaheim series and Game 2 of the Cup final. I mean, you can win with those guys.
Right.
And do you worry about the message it sends in the locker room? If you take a Scott Hartnell or an Austin Watson down and you put a Tolvanen in the lineup who just shows up?
I mean, I don't know anything about this kid, so I don't know. But if he comes in and struggles in the locker room, yeah, there'll certainly be some ramifications for that. Or if he comes in and is, number one draft choice, bling bling kind of guy, I'm sure that's going to not sit well, but I don't know. I mean, like I said, I don't know that much about the kid.
615-737-1025. We'll get to some calls if we can, but guess who's coming up next?
This would be a good question for him.
Crispy. We'll get right into it with Crispy. The Tolvanen thing, the additions at the deadline, we'll get into that. It's all coming up next. Terry Crisp will join us. It's Jared and the GM live from Bridgestone Arena, where, again, the Preds are taking on San Jose tonight at 7 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And ESPN 102.5 The Game is your flagship station for the reigning Western Conference champion Nashville Predators. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter, and like us on Facebook to keep up with everything in Smashville. Twitter at 102.5 The Game, Instagram at The Game Nashville, Facebook.com/The Game Nashville. I'm on Twitter at Jared Stillman, and on Instagram at The Jared Stillman. And go follow that The Jared Stillman on Instagram. We need as many Instagram followers, Floyd, as we can get. That's what we need. Crispy's coming up next. It's Jared the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Jared the GM, Preds and Sharks tonight. Alex on Twitter, Floyd, says the Predators should sign Elie Tolvanen and use him for playoff depth. He's a special talent. Play him 9 or fewer games during the regular season to save him from burning a year on his entry-level contract, and use that time to acclimate him to the locker room. He only plays if someone gets injured. So that's the idea. Terry Crisp joins us. We've been kicking around this thing about the trade deadline and whether or not the Preds are going to make a trade or if they're just going to rely on adding Mike Fisher to the roster and Ellie Tolvin into the roster. And Floyd and I, Crispy, both kind of struggle with the idea of putting an 18-year-old who's never played in the NHL on the roster for a cup run, especially when you've got a team as deep as this one. Because I said to Floyd, I don't want to take down an Austin Watson or take down a Scott Hartnell in order to put him in the lineup. So when you factor everything in there, Crispy, what do you think about the idea of adding Ellie Tolvanen, who lit up the Olympics and is lighting up the KHL?
Okay, you know what? Having been a player and a coach, I got mixed emotions on this. Because if I'm the coach, and in my heart and my mind, I think that sincerely, this kid is an 18-year-old can come in and make a change, make a difference. Of course I want him. Of course I need him. Of course I want to put him in my lineup. But if I haven't seen him play, and all these people who are talking about him, how many have seen him play? How many of us have seen this kid actually? Our scouts do. Whoever else does, they're of an opinion. I'm just not sure that I can recall my connections, ever bringing in a kid at 18-year-olds and make a difference in the playoffs, when I've been there. I never had a chance with Bobby Orr, mind you, but I might have changed my mind if I had a crack at him. But, no, you guys talk – I don't know. I really don't. Does he burn a year of his contract if he comes and signs?
If he plays over 9 games. So, remember when Sam Girard started and there was a lot of the talk about –
So, they got 9 games to play with him.
Yes.
If they want. I'm not opposed to that.
And the KHL season has to end before. And you know what?
If you're not doing any detriment to your team, if you're not taking out any holes out of it or whatnot, what's the harm in having him take a peek at it?
When would he get here? You got any idea?
I have no idea. I don't know when the KHL ends. I don't know.
Supposedly, if his team goes to the finals, it'd be mid-April, which the playoffs would already have started.
Oh, yeah. See? Hard decision. But guarantee me 20 goals from him in the playoffs, I'll take him.
I just think
Amen.
I think what happens is like a lot of people see highlight films on Twitter or whatever, and they see him score a goal in the Olympics, and they think to themselves, oh, God, that'd be great to add to the Preds. But, I mean, when you play Anaheim and he's in his own end with Ryan Kesler and he's in his own end against Pittsburgh with Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin, like is he going to be able to hold his own? Because if he's not, like Mike Fisher hadn't played a game this year. I know Mike Fisher will be fine when it comes to playoff time and holding his own in defensively. I remember a couple years ago, they played a game at Chicago in the playoffs. Crispy, you were there. It went to about 5 in the morning. And they put Kevin Fiala in there. And Fiala clearly wasn't ready. I mean, he was a liability at that point in his own end. Now, Fiala's getting a lot better in his own end. I look at the Tolvanen thing, and I feel like it's more wishful thinking than it is anything else.
Yeah, I got to agree with you. You know what? There's no such magical wand, wave it, and this kid's going to do it. So I'm thinking David Poile knows his job. He's done a great job. He'll sit down with his people and say, here's our options. What's best for this hockey club? And you know the bottom line. What is best for the team?
Right.
Not the individual.
What does like the Preds or any NHL team have a program for a kid that comes in from Europe that maybe doesn't speak well, doesn't know the city, doesn't know anything about it, or they just latch on to another veteran locker room and go?
Probably you're looking from within. You said a veteran or somebody close, hopefully. And in most teams now, you always have a Russian, a Swede, a Czech, wherever they're coming from. And most of these kids can speak 2 or 3 languages to help you out and whatnot. But the teams now make sure, especially if they're young ones coming in, that they are guided by, we have people hired that show them around the city, show them where they might want to live, apartments, et cetera. And the other thing is the families come in now, the teammates show the wife and the kids what schools, what doctors. It's a lot more simple now than it was, and more structured.
And when you're 18, you know, it's a lot easier to navigate those.
Yeah,
things.
Yeah, exactly.
Kids or whatever.
You've got Pekka looking for number 300.
300. Big 300.
Make him, what did we say, 34th guy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where does that put him in your hierarchy of goalies?
Probably, if I'm looking at the guys that I've coached and played with, Peck is one of the better ones. But then, you see, I had the privilege of having Glenn Hall, played with Glenn Hall. I played with Jacques Plante. I played with Jerry Cheevers. I've coached some other ones. So Peck is right there with them. And when I gauge my goaltender, like I do Pecorine, I gauge what they've done for the team. And in my 20 years here, there's been no other player do what Pecorino has done for this organization and this team. Wow. So in my estimation, that's pretty good. That's pretty good glory.
Wow.
That's a pretty good compliment. We have some nice kids go through here, and we've had Korea go through here at center. You can be down the line. All good kids, all good players. But in my estimation, when I leave here and somebody says, so far, Crispy, what player stuck out in your mind? Pecorino is the one for me.
Who's does 300 wins? I doubt there's any debate, but that automatically gets you in the Hall of Fame. I mean, you're in.
No.
No?
It should, but it won't. You know what?
Wow.
Well, maybe now it does, but back when, and you know this, and I've heard you guys talk about it, if you haven't won a Super Bowl, if you haven't won the World Series, if you haven't won the Stanley Cup, you better really, really have racked up a lot of points or a lot of wins or whatever.
Good.
It would give you consideration, but to get that big ultimate trophy on your that's the kicker. That's the one. Not so much anymore now, but because of longevity. And I guess longevity equals Hall of Fame. I'm not sure.
I don't know either.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You and I are both looking at each other saying, ah, okay. Look at Stiller. He's just rubbing his hands
hey,
over. Wouldn't he love to get into this one? He'd love to kick that door open right now and say, okay, let me tell you what I see. And if I'm, you tell me if I'm wrong.
Terry Chris with us right here. Speaking of Pekka, we kind of kicked this around yesterday. You know, you see a lot of athletes that when they hit around 35 or something or in their 30s, they kind of go down. But Pekka's probably – I don't think he's ever played as well as he has played from the start of the playoffs last year to where he is right now. And it doesn't look like he has plans of slowing anytime soon. He's in great shape. He obviously loves being here. We know he's got this year and next year on his contract. I mean, young Saros with the win the other night. I mean, how – if you're David Poile, do you start to juggle this about – how long's Pekka going to be here for? Because it looks like he's going to be here past next year.
I don't even juggle it. That doesn't even come into my consideration. As far as I'm concerned, I imagine David Poile, he's our number one goalie. There's no doubt in my mind. Saros is great. He's going to come along. He's going to do. And we've had a lot of good goaltenders come in behind Pekka. Carter Hutton being one of them.
Yeah.
Volkoon being another one. A couple other ones. But Pekka's remained the one, number one. And he still is. Now, down the road, when Pekka decides he's 37, 38, he's had enough, hopefully we'll still have Saros, and hopefully he'll be heir apparent to the throne. Right now, Pecorino is the man.
But what if Pekka plays till he's 42? I mean, you can't keep signing UC
Saros. He's going to be rich.
But UC Saros
is yes, well rich, I'll tell you. GM, I mean, you and I both know.
I just, like, this time last year, I would have totally thought, yeah, by the time Pekka's 36 or whatever it is when his contract's up, it'll be time to make the switch over and make the move. But now I don't feel that way with the way he's playing. I know he's getting older, but he's getting better.
But you know what, though? Athletes today, we're talking about Tom Brady. What's he, 40 years old?
Mm-hmm.
What he's done? And he goes out and plays the way he plays and does what he does. These athletes today are in such great shape.
Oh, take
and
care of them.
You've seen back in your days, some come in, they're like little pot-bellied guys, and it took them a month to even get the pounds. They never get out of shape anymore. I was talking to Mike Fisher about this today, and I said to Mike, you know, you've always stayed in shape like me. He said, yes, by and large, I have. But he says, staying in shape is one thing, but being in elite competition shape is a total other thing. And when these guys are playing, as long as they're playing, they're in that elite conditioning.
Trade
deadline. Like Stiller. Like Stiller. Yeah. Take a look at that bar. The bar.
Finally, too.
Hey, I go to Get Fit anytime on 8th Avenue. I'm in great shape. Now, that being said, trade deadline. You just brought up Fisher. We've talked Tolvanen. I mean, you hear some of the prices that are being thrown out there for some of these players like Rick Nash or Grabner or some of these other guys. Crispy, I think when you add Fisher to the mix, you're good. You're good enough to go. The trade you needed to make was the Turris trade. You just made it 4 months before the deadline. I don't look at this and think, man, the Preds need to add to X, Y. I don't feel that way. I think they're good enough now. What do you think of this roster?
This is you're probably going to imagine this hard for me to say, but I agree with you.
You always say that. You agree with me on like 90% of what I say?
I do not. Not nine. Yeah. Oh, come on. Don't be patting yourself on the back that much. No, but you're totally right. We got a good machine here right now. And touch wood, barring, and you all know in playoffs, you're going to have injuries. Mm-hmm. You're going to have guys go down. What you do want to have is on your depth chart. And you want to make sure that you have guys that can step in and do it. And if you can get one of those players, maybe even a veteran, and the best thing happening, one of the best right now, is Mike Fisher coming back. What a depth guy he's going to be on our chart right now. So, Stiller, you know what? I agree with you. There's no panic for us to make a move. If David doesn't see it proactive for our team now and down the road, why? No more, I like the term you use, rentals. The rentals don't help anybody, you know, unless the guy comes in and lights it up.
And this team, you're so right. This team is so – I was looking at the stats again today, and I've said this before. I mean, top 40 scorers in the league, we got zero. Pittsburgh's got three. But you look at scoring in the league, we're like second.
Yeah.
We're third.
By committee.
Everybody gets one. Committee. You know, if five get one, we're in good shape.
Well, and, like, I have faith, Crispy. I have faith in the guys on the roster that if something were to happen and had to come in a playoff series – like, I have faith in Aberg and Gaudreau when they call him up at the end of the year, and Salamaki, and guys that might not be make the cut today if everybody's healthy, which right now they are. But I have faith in those guys to come in and fill spots that maybe not everybody else would have faith in,
well,
in those type of
let's
players.
Be honest, Taylor, you've watched this team for how many years now? You've seen most of these kids come along. We should have faith in them. They've proven they can do it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get the ice time now that they're getting because of the way the lineup is and how much depth we have. But, yeah, there's Coach Lab, he has no problems moving them around, setting one out, putting one in. Mm-hmm. His defenseman, perfect example. He has Beteto, and he has Weber, and he has Irwin. He can shuffle him along around. And anytime he does it, he feels confident. He doesn't feel like it's a necessity or, oh, woe is us. No, it's there.
Crispy tonight, San Jose. I'm calling it a trap game.
I heard you on the radio coming in.
What do you think of that? Trap game?
Stupid phrase it is. A trap game.
Do you think it's a trap game?
Oh, the H. I like to say the H word. I like when I'm not allowed. I just sit there and say a trap game. They don't like us. We don't like them. They're a good hockey club. They got to get over the hump also. Don't forget, they haven't won anything yet, this team. They got pride. Their ownership has pride. This is. They got to start to do something. If they don't start doing it this year, whenever – what's that word? Disassemble?
Yeah.
Is there such a word?
Yeah.
Or whatever the
scary word.
Yeah, it is. For the players, it damn well better be. And then you look at their team. I looked at theirs. They're by committee also. You look at the guys, and not a lot of names. Like Thornton's out tonight, Hurdle's out tonight, and yet they're still winning. They won five of their last six. And we don't like them.
Yeah.
And they certainly don't like us.
Right.
It's this game is, you better strap it on and know you're going to play.
I'm just telling you, trap game.
Well, quit saying it.
I'm calling it right now. Yeah. I guaranteed the win last week. Everybody got mad. Now I'm saying trap game. I'm sure they're going to get mad about that too. Crispy will
they'll
see you
never
tonight.
Boo. They won't boo you again.
I hope
I think
not.
Going down the concourse the other night, somebody booed you. Oh, that was me.
That was you. Terry Crisp, as always, Crispy, we'll see you. It's Jared the GM.
Thanks, Chris.
Live from Bridgestone Arena on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
At the pick number 25 with the Tennessee Titans and Ronald Jones a second. He was as valuable to that team as anybody, including Sam Darnold. He had a better year. Smooth runner, great kid, hard worker. I think if DeMarco Murray moves on and you have a guy like Derrick Henry, you need a complimentary guy, and Ronald Jones would be that guy in Tennessee at pick number 25.
Mel Kiper on ESPN. He's got the Titans taking a running back at 25 overall, and yet they have so many needs, GM. And so this is going to be my Ask the GM question, because we'll have Ask the GM presented by Pella Windows at the top of the hour. My Ask the GM question relates to something that Todd McShay said. So Mel Kiper's got the Titans taking a running back at 25. This is what Mel Kiper said about the rest of the running back class in this draft. Or Todd McShay, excuse me.
To me, when you look at this class, this is a good year when you don't have the depth at safety and edge rusher and some other positions, offensive line. I think I might hold off if I'm not taking Barkley there in the top five and wait to the second, third round for running backs. Mel mentioned Rashad Penny out of San Diego State. You've got the two Georgia running backs, Sony Michel and Nick Chubb. You've got Mark Walton from Miami, Bo Scarborough from Alabama. This class is loaded with running backs. So I'll be interested to see how teams maneuver and manage their draft boards, knowing that you're going to run out of some of those other positions early and knowing that there could be really good running backs like we saw last year with Hunt and Kamara and those guys all coming off the board. The three top running backs really last year came off the board after round one.
So when you hear that about the running backs and then you hear Mel Kiper say they want a running back, well, I mean, when's the right time for the Titans to really look for a running back to go with Derrick Henry in this year's draft, if they cut DeMarco Murray?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of questions to be answered there. You know, first of all, what do you do with DeMarco? And if that works out, then your problem's solved. And so, you know, what do you do? Is Derek, in fact, the type running back they're looking for? Because a bunch of those guys that Todd was talking about are not, you know, they certainly aren't Derrick Henry style.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you have to decide what kind of running back am I looking for. If Derrick Henry is not the kind of running back you're looking for, then, you know, you need to make a move with him. Because you're going to be starting all over with the running backs, and you're going to be bringing in, you know, three or four guys. In which case, a draft choice is a high draft choice is more reasonable. If, in fact, these guys are, I mean, if you can get DeMarco's contract down, get him signed, he comes back, and Derek's there, then, you know, I don't think the next guy matters a great deal. One of those two guys is going to be playing a whole bunch of football. You know, if you had to start all over, then, you know, you're going to go through the draft and find what style running back you're looking for. And you'll have to draft him accordingly. But I wouldn't be, you know, I just would not be in a big rush to draft a running back. I mean, I think we got Derrick Henry a couple of years ago because J-Rob's in the second round and deep into the second round, and he's looking around and here's this name way up on the board rated as a first round draft choice kind of guy. And you're going, wow, what's wrong here?
And if they had him at 24th and he's at 45, you got
there you go. You know, so you've got everybody off your board and you're looking up there and there's that one name that's there and he's from Alabama and he is a Heisman Trophy winner and he's a great kid. And then you're saying, what am I doing? You know, that's an easy pick. And I think that's what they did. But if he doesn't fit what they're looking for, if neither of the running backs we have here fit what they're looking for, then they're going to have to restructure that whole thing. But we said before we made the move, part of the search has to be, you know, how many of these guys on this roster can play for you in your system? And you have to have a coach that's going to be able to say, yeah, all of them or none of them, or, you know, I've got to change these three or four positions to give J-Rob something to shoot at.
Okay, let's say that DeMarco's contract is $6 million for, I think, $6.5 million for next year. We know that he's not going to be able to make that. Like, they'll cut him if he says, I won't take a pay cut. What do you think the fair number is when you factor in the market, when you factor in, you know, your cap space? And what's the fair number for DeMarco and then the incentive number that you would give him?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the fair number would be, but I would give him the ability to earn all the money back. And just say, okay, you know, I can pay you 3.5, whatever the number is. And I'll let you make the other 2.5 up. And you say, okay, if you gain 1,000 yards, I'll give you $500,000. If you gain 1,500 yards, I'll give you $1 million. If you catch so many balls, I'll, you know, and you give him a chance that if he's productive to build a backup. And you know, a lot of guys don't like that. But the truth is, if your number is fair, he's not going to get any more than that out of the market. And if he can't get any more than that, then the only reason you leave is because of pride. You know, you've gotten your pride hurt, and you don't want to play, you know, go to the locker room when everybody knows that you had to give up some money and, you know, all those things. Now, it's unusual because guys at New England do it every year. And it's just kind of common practice there. Nobody thinks anything about it. But generally speaking, throughout the league, it's sometimes harder for a guy to go back to where he was making less money than it is to go someplace new and make the same amount of money.
I like the idea, though. But, again, and I think you lean towards, just from having talked about this a lot with you, on and off the air, you lean towards that as opposed to taking Ronald Jones at 25 as Mel Kiper has in his mock draft.
Well, I don't think – I mean, everybody is really into change of pace running back, if you will.
Which I kind of am into too, but I know what you mean.
Yeah, I mean, and I understand why they are. I've always been more along the lines of, you know, let's get a couple that are doing what we really like – And if we really like to change base running backs, maybe we need all change base running backs. You know, if we're liking the quickness or the receiving ability or whatever it is about that guy, then let's get them all like that. Because it doesn't – I'm not sure how much it helps you. You know, when you put in a 250-pound running back on first down, turn around and give him the ball. I mean, everybody in the ballpark knows he's going to get it. By the same token, if it's third and 10 and he leaves the game and here comes in this little jitterbug kind of guy, I mean, everybody knows that if you're going to throw the ball to a running back, it's going to be him.
So that's my Ask the GM. Now it's time for yours. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Load up those phone lines. 615-737-1025. And we'll take Twitter questions as well. At Jared Stillman on Twitter. At Jared Stillman with your Ask the GM questions presented by Pella Windows. And the best question for the GM via the phones will receive Willie Nelson and Allison Krause tickets at Ascend Amphitheater. So get excited for that. 615-737-1025. Load up those phones. Ask the GM, presented by Pella Windows, is next on Jared and the GM. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.